You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
And indeed, a very good morning to you, boys and girls. Welcome to Thursday morning, The Breakfast Show. I'm Jerry D. We're on 89.3 Cool FM. And I'm going to be sitting here keeping you entertained with some other people as well this morning, going right through until 10 o'clock. Taking a look. Now, we've got a few. I've moved around a little bit last night when I was checking about the info I got from our friend Neil about people born on this day. And you know, sometimes I say, for some strange reason, you get a number of people born on the same day in the same line of business or the same sort of desire. Sir Gilbert Scott, he was born on this day. The year was 1811. He was an English Gothic Revival architect, chiefly associated with the design of buildings and renovation of churches and cathedrals. But he was the architect of many iconic London buildings, including the Midland Grand Hotel at St. Pancras Station in London, the Albert Memorial, and the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. On this day, born in 1841, was Otto Wagner. And he was an Austrian architect and urban planner known for his lasting impact on the appearance of his hometown, Vienna. Beautiful place. Just went there. To which he contributed many landmarks. And last but not least, believe it or not, Ernio Rubik was born on this day in 1944. Now, he is a Hungarian inventor, architect, you see, there we go, and a professor, of course, of architecture. He's best known for the invention of mechanical puzzles, including Rubik's Cube, Rubik's Magic Master Edition, and Rubik's Snake.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
I like to sing with the band.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
There we go, two in a row starting us off on this Thursday morning. We started off with, that was Amy Grant and Good For Me. Nice. And then we got, of course, Spandau Ballet there in chant number one, Don't Need This Pressure On. Tell me about it. That was released 10th of July in 1981, so we just missed the anniversary by a few days. It was the first single from their upcoming second album, which was called Diamond, and the band's guitarist-songwriter Gary Kemp wanted to pay homage to the latest London hotspot, Le Beat Route, by emulating the funk music that was popular there, and even using the club as the location for the music video as well. Steve Winwood's next. Looking for Valerie, I think. Steve Winwood and Valerie. Right, I'm a bit lost this morning because normally those of you who've been to the studio, right in front of me, right in my eyesight, right in front, right above the console, is the world's most expensive clock. It's a Microsoft service, which a service which I've had for many, many years. And I used to just have a clock on it, clock face on it. But it appears that the charger's not working anymore. So I have to crane my neck and look up at the one on the wall. Or do I automatically go and look at the other one? I tell you what, we're going to do this because I reckon we're about 16 minutes right now after the hour of 7 o'clock, according to the other clock. Yeah, we're going to get you off on your way to where it is you're going this morning.
This is the rhythm of the night.
It is indeed the rhythm of the night. Corona. And there we go. Yes, the Corona in the shower with you this morning with Rhythm of the Night. A couple of quick good mornings while we get out of the shower. Mary Lou, good morning to you, and Renee, be back with you in a moment. There we go. What have we got lined up for you today? We've got a special guest coming in the last hour this morning. We've got coming in, we've got Gerardo. So you're going to have Jerry and Gerardo in the last hour of this morning's program. And we're going to be, this is from Filtro Medusa, of course. And we're going to be talking for the first time in Panama, a rock band and the Panama Philharmonic Orchestra joining forces. This is in a groundbreaking concert on the 22nd of July. So Gerardo will be talking to us about that in the last hour. Renee, thank you very much for the clock. She sent me a clock, a GIF, a GIF on WhatsApp, clock face. It spins around and stops at midday. Which, I mean, basically going on the basis of that, I should have finished 2 hours ago. The Jacksons there, and Enjoy Yourself With Me. Just Enjoy Yourself, but they sing Enjoy Yourself With Me. Why not? I'll be here until 10 o'clock this morning. Right, back to Renee. This is over in Athens in Greece. Good morning. Good Thursday morning, Renee says. I spent the morning at the local outdoor market with my nanny family. Oh, nanny family. Oh, she worked as a nanny for 35 years. What, the kid was 35 years old? God, that's a long time, isn't it? Yes. I assume it was with different people. Remember, she said they came here to Athens for their son's wedding. Anyway, what a hoot walking through the market with a whole bunch of them. The interactions and banter had me cracking up. When I was their nanny, I introduced them to Cookie Snickerdoodle. He got another dog. How nice. When I was a kid, we used to have the Knickerbocker Glory. Anybody still remember those? Knickerbocker Glory. Love those. Big glass, long spoon. Right, it became their new favourite. I made a batch for them to take back to New York with them today. So much fun to spend time with them. My second family, she says, could you please play Beautiful Day by Joshua Radin?
Gonna wash the dust off my soul. Gonna listen to some rock and roll. No cares, come what may, I'm making a beautiful day. Gonna drive my car to the sea. Swim out far, 'cause I believe that waves will wash the gray away. I'm making a beautiful day. Let me hear you say, oh, 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 my, my, I'm learning to fly. Hey, hey, what's that you say? We're alive. Gonna climb that hill behind my house. See what this place is all about. 'Cause from above it all, you can't help but say, it's gonna be a beautiful day. It's gonna be a beautiful day. But let me hear you say, oh, 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 my, my, I'm learning to fly. Hey, hey, what's that you say? Let's not forget we're alive. My enemies into friends. What's broken gets stronger when it mends. When we all come together, this song will play. We'll sing, it's a beautiful day. And that's gonna be my beautiful day.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Is your car in need of a quickie? Car Service Express. Absolutely. They will do any of these for you. 30-point inspection for your car. Oil and oil filter change. Change the air filter. Change the cabin filter. Change any kind of other fluid as well, like coolant, brake, transmission and power steering. And they'll balance and rotate your tyres. And if you've got one that doesn't rotate because it's flat at the bottom, they'll fix that too. Car Service Express, 648-14281. Give them a call, 648-14281.
In Albrook Car Service Express.
Entonces, nos vemos mañana.
No puedo, cena familiar.
¿Pasado?
No, tengo examen en la U.
¿Semana que viene?
Ay, no.
El 15.
Tengo depilación.
¿El 17?
Uf, me voy para la playa.
¿Y si mejor lo hacemos ya?
Obvio, ¿por qué no?
Vamos.
Gordon's, ¿te apuntas? Cuando maneje, no tome. DrinkIQ.com.
Attention, construction professionals, cabinet makers, plumbers, electricians, painters, architects, contractors, interior designers, transporters, PHS, and school administrators. We invite you to join Do It Pro, the benefits program for professional clients of Do It Center. With Do It Pro, you receive exclusive benefits all year round, such as special prices and promotions, technical training, extended catalogue, and many more benefits as well. Join at your nearest Do It Center and start receiving all of those benefits of being a pro client of Do It Pro.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
Absolutely, the best place to be in the mornings. I always like coming here. Right, let's take a look, shall we? Time-wise, about 29 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Looking at some of the international news for this morning, we're starting off with a Russian general. And he said that he had been dismissed as a commander after telling the military leadership about the dire situation at the front in Ukraine, where he said Russian soldiers had been stabbed in the back by the failings of the top military brass. After the June 24th mutiny by Wagner mercenaries, the biggest domestic challenge to the Russian state in decades, President Vladimir Putin has so far kept Defense Minister, that's Sergei Shoigu, and Chief of General Staff, Valery Gerasimov, in their jobs. Major General Ivan Popov, who commanded the 58th Combined Arms Army, said in a voice message published by Russian lawmaker Andrei Gurulyov that he had been dismissed after telling the truth to the top brass about the situation at the front line. Thailand's Pitter Lim Jaro Anenarat failed on Thursday in his bid to become Thailand's next Prime Minister. After he was thwarted, this was in a high-stakes parliamentary vote that included a host of no-shows and nearly 200 abstentions. The leader of election winners Move Forward was unopposed in the contest but struggled to muster the required support of more than half of the 749 members of the bicameral parliament, despite the backing of his eight-party alliance. Another vote is expected to be held next week, which Pitter can contest if nominated again. Hollywood's largest union, with 160,000 members, and the Writers Guild of America are demanding increases in base pay and residuals in the streaming TV era, plus assurances that their work will not be replaced by artificial intelligence. Fran Drescher, former star of The Nanny and the president of SAG-AFTRA, said that studios' responses to the actors' concerns had been insulting and disrespectful. The companies have refused to meaningfully engage on some topics, and on others completely stonewalled us, she said in a statement, after a deadline for actors to agree a new contract expired at midnight on Wednesday. Until they do negotiate in good faith, we cannot begin to reach a deal, she added. Nearly 100 million Americans, yes, 100 million, are facing a prolonged spell of sweltering weather this week, with the National Weather Forecast issuing heat advisories for many cities and towns across the country. In many places in the southwest, where hot summers are the norm, extreme temperatures are in the forecast. Southern Europe sweltered under a fierce heatwave on Thursday with a warning that temperatures could hit a record highs for the continent next week. Weather alerts were in place across Spain's Canary Islands, Italy, Cyprus and Greece, with the Greek authorities expecting temperatures to reach as high as 43 Celsius, it's about 109.4 Fahrenheit, or 44 Celsius on Friday or Saturday. And at least two people have died in flash floods in southern Russia, and one woman died in a wildfire in the Urals region, state news agencies reported on Thursday in this summer's latest severe weather events. The dollar tumbled to its lowest since last April on Thursday, heading for its biggest weekly decline so far this year, as traders took a surprisingly cool read on U.S. inflation as a sign the U.S. rates could peak as early as this month. U.S. data on Wednesday showed inflation slowed a lot faster than expected last month. That gave rise to the biggest one-day dollar sell-off in 5 months and left the greenback at its lowest in over a year against the euro and sterling, and its lowest in over 8 years against the Swiss franc. U.S. core inflation came in at 0.2% in June against market expectations, 4.3%, while headline annual CPI fell to 3%. Global stocks traded around their highs for the year on Thursday as investors bet that the Federal Reserve was finally taming inflation and could end its rate hiking cycle as soon as this month. The MSCI All Country Stock Index was up 0.4% at 691 points. This was around the highs for the year, to gain 13.5% so far in 2023, though still not wiping out all of the near 20% loss in 2022. And lastly, oil, Brent crude futures, that was up 25 cents to $80.36 a barrel. That was by 9:23 GMT this morning, while U.S. West Texas intermediate crude futures, they were up 17 cents at $75.92. So there we are. That's it. That's what we've got in the international news and in the business world as well. Don't forget, joining us in the last hour of this morning's program, we've got Gerardo from Filtro Medusa coming in to chat with us from the band, because they've got this concert coming up on the 22nd of July. Them with Filtro Medusa playing with the Panama Philharmonic. That's going to be spectacular. Dr. Computer's got in touch. He will be with us as well in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. So it's all exciting, isn't it? Yes, of course it is. Let's get down on it, shall we? Cool in the gang.
Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. Oh, what you gonna do? Do you wanna get down? Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me.
Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it.
Come on in.
Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it.
How you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall.
Get your back up off the wall.
Tell me, how you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall.
Get your back up off the wall.
Well, I heard all the people saying,
get down on it.
Come on in.
Get down on it.
If you really want it.
Get down on it.
You gotta feel it. What you gonna do? You gotta get on the groove. If you want your body to move, tell me, baby, how you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall.
Get your back up off the wall.
Tell me, how you gonna do it if you really won't take a chance? By standing on the wall.
Get your back up off the wall.
Well, I heard.
Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it.
When you're dancing.
Get down on it.
really want it.
Get down on it.
You gotta feel it.
Get down on it.
Get down on it.
Get down on it.
Get down. Come on in.
Get down on it.
Baby, baby.
Get down on it.
Get down.
Get on it. Get down on it.
How you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall.
Get your back up off the wall.
Tell me, baby. How you gonna do it if you really won't take a chance? By standing on the wall.
Get your back up off the wall.
Listen, baby. You know it. Oh, when you're dancing, yeah. You show it. Oh, when you move, move, move. You know it. Oh, when you're dancing, yeah. You show it. As you move across the floor.
Get down on it.
Come on in.
Get down on
it. If you really want it.
Get down on it.
You gotta feel it.
Jerry D.
I wanna find.
there we go. Yes, the only way is up. And that's Yaz and the Plastic Population. But Yaz is sitting behind me, which means I must be the Plastic Population. Going back in time with that one, keep an eye on the time. We're about 14 and a half minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. I've actually put a sort of wound-up clock right in front of my face. Because I'm looking at this blank, black screen. I can't get used to sticking my head up to look at the time. So I've done a workaround. Natural fact is, it's a clock that goes tick-tock, tick-tock. So I don't know if you can hear this. No, you can't hear it. Even I can't hear it. So anyway, let me see. Going back to the music. Eye in the Sky, Alan Parsons Project. Yes, indeed. Alan Parsons Project and Eye in the Sky. Going back, let's see, have a look and see who else, by the way, was born on this day in the, just born on this day. Edward J. Flanagan, 1886, he was born on this day. He was an Irish-born priest of the Catholic Church in the United States who founded the orphanage known as the Boys Town, located in Douglas County, Nebraska, which now also serves as a center for troubled youth. And I tell you what, if you're a Star Trek fan, you like this one. Sir Patrick Stewart, he was born on this day in 1940. English actor is most widely known, of course, for his roles as Captain Jean-Luc Picard in Star Trek, The Next Generation, and its successor films as well, as Professor Charles Xavier in the X films as well. So there we go. Birthday also. Happy birthday. Who to? to Harrison Ford. There we go. That's Power of Stella and Dandy, featuring Yola B on that particular piece of music. Now, I tell you what, taking us up towards the top of the hour, it's a song by Swing Out Sister. Well, as you know, I've got a parrot called Lala. The name of this song is Lala. Means I love you.
Many girls have come to you with a line that wasn't true.
Swing Out Sister, and Lala means I love you. I think I found a karaoke song for Jerry. La 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 la. Yes, I could do quite well with that. Time on the Breakfast Show. We're just making our way to the top of the hour, so without further ado, it's this.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
Attention, construction professionals, cabinet makers, plumbers, electricians, painters, architects, contractors, interior designers, transporters, PHS, and school administrators. We invite you to join Do It Pro, the benefits program for professional clients of Do It Center. With Do It Pro, you receive exclusive benefits all year round, such as special prices and promotions, technical training, extended catalogue, and many more benefits as well. Join at your nearest Do It Center and start receiving all of those benefits of being a pro client of Do It Pro.
Are you also sick of that same old love? Those same awkward dates? Impersonal, virtual, of people ghosting you on dating apps? Gordon's Gin and Smirnoff Vodka present Dating Game by Cool FM. Sign up on our website to experience a speed dating like no other, with like-minded people, a singles party afterwards, and the best mixology by Gordon's Gin and Smirnoff Vodka. Starting at 6 p.m., Thursday, August 3rd, in Tacos La Neta Celina Rooftop, Casco Viejo, come enjoy a mixology session, speed dating, and the best music thanks to our DJs. A fun party with the possibility of finding a match that will not ghost you through the phone before even having a chance to meet. And if you don't find a romantic match, we're sure you will find many new friends. If you're between 25 and 40 years old, sign up on coolfmpanama.com and join our singles event this August 3rd in Tacos La Neta, Celina Rooftop, Casco Viejo. Are you ready to match face-to-face? Dating Game by Cool FM, presented by Gordon's Gin and Smirnoff Vodka.
Have you ever taken your car for maintenance and been told to come back within less than 5,000 kilometers or 3 months? The secret is in using good quality oil and an original filter. At Burley Motors, we guarantee high quality oil and a thorough inspection during every maintenance check, better than you would get at the dealership. This means a longer lifespan for your car, and you won't have to spend money every 3 months. You can go up to 6,000 kilometers with semi-synthetic oil and up to 10,000 kilometers with full synthetic oil. Give us a call or WhatsApp us on 64310419. Got that? 64310419. Valley Motors. We'll keep you running.
It's morning radio, the breakfast show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
morning, Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, Yaz, how you doing? Well, I am in the city. What a beautiful sunny morning. I was thinking to myself, and I talked to the cook this morning. I said, I think I know why at 6 something in the morning, it's so much brighter here in the city at 6 in the morning than it is at 6 o'clock in El Valle. I said, one, I'm at sea level, so the sun's coming up right at sea level. And two, El Valle is in a crater of a volcano, so it has to reach over the rim in order to get the sun in. So that explained that to me. Anyways, got a few things I need to do before I head out back to the El Valle countryside. Oh yeah. I've been spending a little time here with the Aussie. Got my computer fixed up. It's awesome. Got my client stuff done. That's even better. Happy news. Now I got to wait for the bridge to open so I can drive back. Checked in on a dear friend. Dearest, my sweet Ramona, good luck today on your procedure. I know you'll be fine. And Paul, good thing you're home recuperating. You know, your friends, you got to love them whenever you can. Be with them while you can and when you can and tell them so. Yep. Well, I'm looking out there at the green football field. So, I understand that while I was at a movie last night, there was this really big event going on called a football game. Yeah, and mostly I'm kind of glad I wasn't on the street because I'm afraid, you know, I look very, very Estados Unidosian kind of person. So I'm glad I wasn't on the street because not a good time to be on the street if you're a fula. Yeah, because Estados Unidos lost to Panama. Congratulations, Panama. Whoop, 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 whoop. Yep. Didn't hear much because I went to go see a movie, so that was cool. All right, well, it's going to be a glorious drive back to El Valle. I have to make a stop at some shopping there in Coronado. Happy to do that. But I'm really, really most excited about my computer is working. Yay! I have a new motherboard and a new M2 hard drive, and she is just sizzling fast. Going to pack her up and bring her home. All right, you all be safe. Hey, today is Thursday. That means tomorrow is Freaky Friday Fun Fact. Looking forward to it. I hope you are. Until then, back to you in the studio.
There we go. Yes, I think that's a team of lawyers, actually. Harrison, Joe Frank, and Reynolds. It's a good name for a lawyer as well. Don't pull your love, baby. Time on The Breakfast Show, if you are keeping on time, my damn black screen. The time is around about 23 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, and it's great to say good morning, a Thursday good morning, to Dr. Computer, Alex Newman.
Good morning.
And how are we, Alex?
Oh, we're great. We're great. Glad to be here.
Good. Glad to have you. Right, that's it then. Thank you.
See you next week.
Yes. There was a piece in the news today about the opening yesterday of the data center here in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly? I mean, and apparently it was done with a company called Sparkle. Do you know that?
No, but it sounds like they have unicorns and rainbows there.
Yeah, nice. Yes, yeah. But who uses it?
Mostly companies that need to have their information stored geographically within Panama for legal reasons.
Right. And it's just stored data? It's not active data? Or
everything is active nowadays. I mean, they may have data storage, but they probably also have stuff to manage that storage and so on, and sometimes even provide services. Another use for these kinds of places is things like Netflix, for example. You're streaming a movie. It's, you know, if you start streaming a movie, it will probably copy it over to a Panamanian server. So the next person who watches that movie grabs it from closer and gets better performance. And they spend less on their international data lines that usually bill by a certain amount of terabytes per month or something.
Okay. And when we talk about terabyte, what kind of size would that be? I mean, how much storage would it have?
It depends. You can get pretty dense with storage nowadays. You can have something the size of a pizza box that stores, you know, terabytes upon terabytes of information and can deliver that pretty quickly. So,
like pizzas?
Yes.
Yes.
And if it's not delivered in half hour, you have a bigger problem.
Absolutely. So this is the first, because if I'm not mistaken, I mean, they built this one in Clayton. But if you go to Panama Pacifico, there's a huge building there, a gray building, which looks like a bit like a fortress. Now, is that a data center as well?
Yeah.
That is another.
Yeah. And so there's one in the interior as well.
So this one isn't the first?
No, not at all. It's like the fifth or sixth. Now, it's good that it's the fifth or sixth, because hopefully that will mean prices will be lower, costs will be lower, there's more people involved and employed in the management of all of this, and it's just better for the country. I just hope and pray that Amazon, Google, and Microsoft start setting up. I think one of the biggest technology challenges for whoever gets picked to run the country next, you know, 2024, should try to see how they can get one or more of these major, major players to come here. Because you may have seen when you look at different kinds of services like VPNs and so on, there's only one, if I recall correctly, ExpressVPN that has a Panama presence, in the sense that you can be somewhere else in the world and use a VPN to connect out of Panama so you can watch TVN or Telemetro.
Have
or whatever.
Have you not noticed, though, the VPNs now becoming less and less useful because they're detected?
If you're going to use them for streaming, yes. That's because the data centers do provide the information that they are data centers voluntarily. So then streaming services such as Netflix can say, are you a data center? Yes. Okay, then this user probably is using a VPN, so I'm not going to provide them with service. Because they want to follow the letter of the law that says...
But it's not against the law to use a VPN.
It's not, but it is against the law to provide you with content in a country that the provider of said content did not sign a contract for. For example, let's say you make a movie and you give those rights to Netflix, and Netflix then resells those rights to, you know, be broadcast in different parts of the world. And let's say you strike up a deal with HBO, and HBO says, I want to stream your things in the U.S., but you already had a contract with Netflix. You can say, okay, it's going to be available on Netflix in this country and HBO in that country. And if I knowingly provide you with that, even though you're not in the country that I signed the contract for, I might be in breach of contract myself. So I understand the letter of the law behind it, even though I think it's stupid. Yeah, you know that...
I think this whole DRM thing now is getting, you know... But funnily enough, we sort of had this conversation with Andreas yesterday with regards to movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what your opinion, but, you know, we're talking about streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting ludicrous.
Yeah.
If you want to watch one thing, you've got to be on HBO. If you want to watch another thing, you've got to be with Disney. If you've got to watch another thing, you know, and it's getting to the point where I just stick with Netflix now, because Netflix provides me with virtually anything or everything I want to know. And they are probably one of the best. The only difference here, if you go and connect to the English site, yes, you do get some different content. But most of the... I mean, I've never been restricted, really, here in Panama by Netflix.
Not anymore. It used to be that the Latin American version, the Panama version of Netflix, was pretty limited. But nowadays, they've gone, I think, a long way to ensure that their contracts are global. In fact, now that you mention it, streaming has become so ridiculous... that, for example, an HBO show, Band of Brothers, is now available on Netflix. Nobody was watching it on HBO, I'm guessing, because if they had HBO, they already hadn't watched it.
Mm-hmm.
So Netflix is streaming an HBO show. So it's going to be a hectic next couple of years, I guess, while the streaming landscape settles and merges. I mean, you've seen things like the merger between, I think it was... Warner and DC and Showtime and all of these other streamers, Paramount and Discovery and Nat Geo and all sorts of others. So it's going to be a hectic landscape, I think.
But also apparently, with the exception of Netflix, most of them are losing money.
Yeah.
Because why would I go to Disney just to see Disney stuff? The spread of content isn't wide enough to warrant paying them anything, really.
Yeah. Now, if you have small children, you might think the other way. It's like, I don't have enough time to watch movies on Netflix. I'll just subscribe to Disney, hit play, and get at least a little bit of peace of mind while they're just staring at the screen and singing.
Especially in a restaurant. Let it go. Especially in a restaurant at lunchtime. You know.
Oh, yeah.
But, what we want to talk about, and you, what was that piece of kit that you brought in with you this morning?
This is an original Atari 2600 video computer system. And it's the model that came out right after the first and second versions, and it's all black, and they call it the Darth Vader console because it's all black. It used to have a wood grain.
Oh, you still remember that? Yeah.
And then they came out with this one. Then they came out with other different versions, and then different models like the 5200, the 7800. And this one I brought in to show you that I modded it, or modified it, to have the RCA jacks that you would see on VCRs and TVs back in the day. And the reason I did that is because nowadays it's pretty hard to get, first of all, any kind of old like TV tube monitor, like the ones we used to have. And the ones that you do get nowadays, like LCD and whatever, the tuners are not the same analog tuner that we had back in the 70s and 80s and pretty much to the beginning of the 21st century, which was, you know, remember that little box that had a switch that you would switch from game to TV and it would show up on channel 3.
Mm-hmm.
Or back in the day in the UK, I think it was channel 1 or 2. Well, since those aren't around anymore, and if you want to buy them, they're either not working or really expensive, then it's easier to, you know, just modify it with a little bit of soldering and not much else to work on a more modern TV, or to use an adapter from this to HDMI, which is what most TVs nowadays use. The other little piece of kit that I brought was this little SCART converter. SCART, for our non-European friends, stands for something that I don't remember what it was, but it basically is a connector that the European Union pretty much legally forced all manufacturers to use back in the late 20th century, early 21st, where they all had to have this connector. And that connector let you connect your TV, your audio player, everything else using a single standard connector for everything. And the beauty of it is that most older computers, be it from the U.S., like the Commodore Amiga, the Commodore 64, the Atari ST, the Atari 800, and even British computers like the BBC Micro and the Acorn and the Amstrad, they used to have adapters for SCART, so you could connect their proprietary stuff to SCART. And then using SCART, you can then plug that into a modern monitor for a better experience. Or, if you want to stream something, you can use one of those HDMI streaming adapters that you can use this as if it were a webcam. And you could just switch over if you're doing like Twitch streaming or YouTube streaming or anything like that. You could switch it over like it was a second webcam and show people what you're working on these old computers. There's an entire industry, kind of a cottage industry, regarding getting all of these ancient systems up and running. I follow a lot of YouTubers that do very, very important preservation work. There's David Murray, the 8-bit guy. There's Adrian Black from Adrian's Digital Basement. There's a bunch of, a lot of channels on YouTube and places where you can get more information. There's entire websites dedicated to things like getting the service manuals. Remember when devices could have service manuals that would let you follow a recipe? It's like, if this is broken, if this is broken, this is what you fix. Well, a lot of these websites are scanning and high-resolution scanning, not just old photocopies of photocopies. They're scanning the manuals and the and everything. And they're also doing preservation work for magnetic media. And this is really important because diskettes are prone to failure, as all of us over 40 know. So one of the preservation efforts is to take, like, your regular floppy drive that some computers, you know, don't, most computers don't have anymore, but you can still get them if you look, to make them read the data on the disk, no matter what computer it is from, just reading the raw magnetic flux on the disk, and to preserve that on sites like archive.org. I mean, you probably have used archive.org in the past if you want to look at what a website looked like way back when or whatever. They also store a lot of information like computer manuals, computer games, and so on. And a lot of people, when they find like their old diskettes with software or whatever, the companies are long since gone. So there's nobody around to complain about the copyright or whatever. So they upload it to places like archive.org. So if you have an old computer or whatever, you can look through there and other websites and get back the functionality by just writing a new disk or a tape or whatever. Even tapes. Remember when computers could load programs from tape? It was pretty popular.
Yeah,
it was pretty popular, for example, in Europe because disk drives were really expensive. So there's a lot of software out there that's on tape. So what they do is they connect the tape to a like a digital audio port on a computer, and they capture that information and then upload that, which you can then just play back on your tape drive and then connect your tape drive to your computer, and you can get all of that data and software and information back from way back when.
By the way, SCART, I thought I'd have a look and see what it is. No wonder you can't use it, because it was French.
Oh.
The French invented
it. Oh.
That's why it's got a lot of pins.
Okay.
And it is Syndicat des Constructeurs de Appels Radio Receptores et Televisionneurs.
Okay. So sounds very Eurus.
And the translation, which is not SCART, is Radio and Television Receiver Manufacturers Association.
Okay.
So that's the French came up with it. Well, also known as Peritel or Peritelevision.
Oh.
I wish I hadn't looked.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, it is. Don't tell anyone. What do you... Is that one working? That Atari you've got there?
Oh, yeah. It's perfectly working. Well, it was before I started futzing with it. I still have to test it out.
What was it?
Futzing with
You were futzing. Yes. I wouldn't advise that.
Yeah. I was kvetching a lot and Schwetting. Schwitzing, I think, is the word as well. So, yeah, I love Yiddish. It's such a wonderful language.
Oh, I thought
there's
was,
a word for
I
everything.
Thought, I thought that was an Austrian menu item.
I'll have the Schwitz, please. I'm really way out of practice with soldering. I had to practice some other things before, and even then I did, a terrible job. But as long as the cover is on, you can't really tell.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I still have to test it. I left it on the bench yesterday, and when I was walking out to come to the studio, I thought, hey, let's talk to Jerry about some of this stuff that I've been working on. I also have an Amiga 500 from Commodore. It was one of the first computers that was used mainstream to do computer animation and titles and graphics and all the weather stuff that you see the weather person in front of the green screen doing stuff. The animation and the titles for a lot of shows, those were done with Commodore Amigas at the time. Until other computers like the Macintosh and then the IBM PCs started catching up to what the Amiga could do at the time. So it's a pretty interesting piece of tech from the time. Although I'm personally more partial to the Atari computers because I had a lot more experience with those way back when I was a kid, and the Apple computers of the time. I mean the Apple II and the computers that came before the Macintosh. I do want to work with somebody locally. I know you've probably heard of MacPower. They're on Via Brasil.
Ah, yes, yes. Well, I know what you mean.
Well, they have a couple of those boxy little Macintoshes from like the mid-80s.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they use them as just props or adornments, and I want to get them back up and running. There's two ways you can do that. You can actually restore the hardware by, you know, working on it. The nice thing about the computers from the 80s is that a lot of the stuff uses off-the-shelf components because they were built using off-the-shelf components. The more modern stuff you need microscopes and whatever for, which was something we were talking about before we came on, because, you know, computers, everything is integrated now. You can't really repair anything. The repairability on a lot of these older computers is pretty high, so there's a market for that.
And those were the days before Apple would stop you from fixing anything.
Apple would actually encourage you to fix your own things. The first Apple computers back in the late 70s, early 80s, came with like extensive manuals for the software and the hardware. And you could get service manuals as well so that you could tell, oh, if it's making this noise, it means you have to change this little 15-cent part and not just throw away the whole thing. So, one of the efforts that I'm making is trying to get, you know, a lot of players like, Universidad Tecnológica, the Panamanian Technology Chamber, and so on, to get together and maybe put together some place where we could preserve all of the history of technology, not just around the world, but specifically in Panama, how we, you know, got the internet started here in Panama, how we got all of this technology going on, and I think that this, what I'm doing here, is a basic step in that direction. Because I think that it's nice to know where we've been to know how good we have it right now and how good it's going to get down the line. If, you know, AI doesn't take over the world and end us like in the Terminator.
I'm just waiting for it to be able to do radio. And you know,
I, for one, welcome our AI overlords, as they say in the meme. But, yeah, by the way, and this is something important that people should really think about. You've probably heard of AI voice cloning, right?
Right.
Well, most good AI voice cloning software is run by companies that, before they actually allow you to upload your voice so they can clone it, which would be interesting because you could probably feed it the news directly and not have to record it every
day. Oh,
that's
a good point, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, AI is not about it taking over the world, it's about you taking over the world with what AI can do for you. But going back to the voice cloning, they usually ask for written and video consent. It's like, hi, I'm Jerry, I consent to my voice being uploaded, this is a sample of my voice and whatever. Because they want to make sure it's not used for nefarious purposes. But eventually it will. And that means that if you get voice notes, if you get you know, stuff that's, you know, handed to you with some political candidate saying something horrible, check everywhere. Check the news. Check. Don't believe it at face value, because it's not easy to tell anymore. Mm-hmm. There are algorithms and computer AI that can tell.
So basically you're saying then that somebody, because you mentioned then about consent, basically you're saying that, say, somebody could record my voice from the radio, and then they could go off and
say Jerry said something horrible. It's not all bad. For example, you remember Siskel and Ebert, the movie critics. One of them had a problem, and he lost the use of his voice. And he was still able to make his radio shows and whatever, because way back when, almost, you know, a couple of dozen years ago or whatever, somebody actually made a primitive model of his voice, because they had every single recording that he did, just like you have recordings of your show on your website. And they took all of that information and they generated an artificial intelligence-based voice that he could just type whatever he wanted to say and it would come out in his voice. In fact, Dr. Stephen Hawking was offered something like this.
That's right, and he said no.
He said, this has been my voice for decades. Uh-huh. I would feel weird.
Yeah, I can understand that as well, because that was his voice. We're going to take a quick musical break. We'll be back with Dr. Computer here on The Breakfast Show.
Baby, there's a price to pay. I'm a cheating, a fighter. come on and let me out.
Well, all she's asked was a bit of a rub, I think. It's a genie in a bottle.
There's the rub.
Well, there you go. Yeah, Christina Aguilera there. we were just talking because I said to, I did have it here. I'm not sure if I sort of gave it to my cousins to play with, but I had an Atari, and you just sort of reminded me of the names. It was an Atari Lynx.
Yep.
And as you say, you know, that was what you mentioned. It came out in 1989, so I'd have probably bought it around that period. And it was really quite, you know,
advanced for its time.
Very much so.
In fact, Nintendo had come up with the Game Boy just a few months prior, and it was black and white.
Yeah.
And the Atari Lynx had a color screen.
Yeah.
They did improve upon the original design a little bit and added like a backlight and the option to turn the backlight off in case you wanted to save batteries and so on. And they discontinued it in 1995 in order to come out with the Atari Jaguar, which was a little bit more advanced. You may remember somebody using one of those Atari devices in the Terminator 2 movie when the kid is trying to hack an ATM to get money out of it.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And, you know, don't even get me started on how computers in Hollywood always are just completely unreal. But the thing is, if you're collecting these, you have to be careful about a whole bunch of things. Like, for example, some of these devices have internal batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're coin cell batteries are pretty stable. But there used to be little barrel-type batteries that would, unfortunately, after 20 or so years, explode and spew out their contents inside of the computer, corroding the elements and doing a lot of damage. Also, there used to be something called reefer caps, which are capacitors that would help smooth out any irregularities in your electricity on the power supplies. What would happen is, computers that were over 15 or 20 years old, when you turned them on, you would hear a loud pop, and then a fizz, and then some smoke, some very acrid, vinegar-smelling smoke would come out. And the computer might turn on, and you might think, okay, so it's working. Yeah, but the thing is, that acid is eating through the components, and it will kill the machine eventually.
But that still exists today. I mean, I'm sick to death of buying Duracell and these alkaline, lithium batteries or whatever they are, and they fall apart and they leak and they screw up your goddamn remote. I mean, it's ridiculous.
The thing about those batteries, and it's the alkalines that do that, is that eventually they kind of eat themselves from the inside out when they're not full or empty. If the battery is completely full, it doesn't explode. That's why it doesn't leak out when it's sitting in a shelf for 2 years at Price Mart in a box or whatever. But the moment you start using it, if you don't use it up and then dispose of it properly within a couple of months, it starts leaking. That's why some Duracells have this packaging that says it's extra protected for that. It's better wrapped or whatever. Those are the ones that you try to use for things like remote controls that barely sip any energy from these and can take months to use. I almost lost the keyboard, a Logitech keyboard, because they're so good with battery management that it just took me over like a year to go through a battery. And I was able to find that it was leaking because I saw some weird dust under my keyboard. And when I started looking where that dust had come from, I noticed it was coming from the bottom of the keyboard, and it was the battery that was leaking. Fortunately, it was leaking down.
Downwards, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But most of these batteries will leak like all over the motherboard on the devices. So if you have any of these old computers and you want to be able to work with them, snip the terminals on the battery and dispose of the battery properly. And whenever you're ready to work on that machine, know that the settings will be deleted because there's no battery to keep them. The clock will probably not be running. Or you can always get a kit. There's all sorts of different stores that sell kits for these machines to use a coin cell battery instead because those are more stable. Or a lithium battery. A lithium battery is more stable because since it has lithium, it has to be wrapped in a way that's more secure, because otherwise, if it leaks, it will burn. So, yeah, you can switch the batteries to that. Fortunately, devices like this Atari 2600 had barely any components at all, much less a battery. So they're usually good even 40 years after their initial run.
What I do now, two things, is I either use my labeler and put the date the battery was put in, or when I have like some of my remote recording equipment or cameras or whatever, I always take the battery out, put it in a little Ziploc, and put it in there with it.
Now, a better idea than using a Ziploc might be using a mason jar or an old jar that, you know, used for mayonnaise or whatever, because the glass will be able to withstand, you know, the acid for longer than a plastic bag might.
Oh, well, I just put it in there because I know that it came out of that equipment. So I know that I'm not taking a battery out which is older than another battery or whatever.
Do you do the same thing for your UPS on your computer? UPS is the battery.
Put it in a plastic bag.
No, I mean, label it to know when you changed it last. A lot of people that I've known have UPSs, and they say, hey, yeah, I have a UPS. When power goes out, I have some minutes to turn everything off normally and whatever. But then a couple of years go by, and they don't change the battery on it. And it's the same type of battery that you would find in a car or a motorcycle. It has a lifespan, usually between 1 and 3 years. So if you haven't changed the battery on your UPS for over 3 years, it's good to have a look inside, make sure that no leakage is going on. They sometimes can swell, and it makes it difficult to take them out. And if you do, you can always go to any of those places that sell batteries, like for cars and motorcycles. They'll do a good job of getting that out and recycling it properly and then putting a fresh one in. And test your UPSs at least every 3 to 6 months just to make sure. Because you don't want to learn that your UPS's battery died when you need it.
That's true. Good point.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're thinking of collecting, I have bad news for you. Computers and devices like these from the 70s and 80s, they follow a U-shaped curve. They start really expensive so you can't afford them. Then they're worthless. Then they start going up in value like crazy.
They're collectibles.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, for example, this Atari, I think I got it for like $40 or something. Originally, when it came out, it was like $180 in 1980s dollars, which was really expensive. And that was like half a month's salary back then or something. Nowadays, they are a little bit more expensive than $40 because they are, you know, fewer and far between. So you have to take that into account if you're going to collect something or have something because you, you know, have nostalgia for the games that you played on your childhood or whatever. But if you want to play games or look at software from way back when, you can go to archive.org, and there are a lot of software there that you can emulate on your browser, on your standard computer, because your computer nowadays is hundreds, if not thousands of times more powerful. So it can really compute rings around, you know, pretty much anything from back then. You can play those games online, or in some cases you can download the game's data and then write something like a diskette or a tape or whatever that you can load up on a computer. Or you can run an emulator. You will find emulators for pretty much anything and everything from way back when. Even those large computers that would look like the computer in the Batcave and things like that, like the digital equipment, PDP-11 and things like that, you can find emulators online for all of those, and you can just, you know, run all of that software and everything. And some people have gone ahead and made 3D printed cases that look like the original computer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then you can stick something cheap like a Raspberry Pi that will cost you, you know, like 50 quid or something like that. And you can emulate that and other machines on that computer and hook it up to a modern monitor. So it's funny to see how all of this, you know, has all of this industry has come up with solutions for people who want to play with these. In fact, the Commodore Amiga that I have has a floppy emulator that allows you to use copies of the diskettes on a USB stick.
Mm-hmm.
Just put it on the side of the computer, select which diskette you want to use, and then it makes a little sound like a diskette reader when it's reading. You know those compact flash cards that used to be what stored pictures on the first digital cameras?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there's compact flash readers that you can stick into these computers to emulate an older hard drive on these, because most of the hard disks from the 80s are just junk right now because mm-hmm. they've, mm-hmm. you know, outlived their lifetime. And these card readers also are available that make the noise that a hard drive would make back in the day, so that it completes the entire experience of using them, even though they're a lot faster. But most of these emulators allow you to even emulate the slowness of the original tape or floppy disk.
How things change, because now apparently you can get the noise of a Ferrari engine for your electric car.
Yeah. It's ironic.
You know, it's, yeah. So anyway, Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, always great to have you with us. Thank you very
great
much.
To
interesting
be here.
Chat this morning.
And I'd like to tell the audience, if you have any old, like, computers from, like, the 70s and 80s or video game consoles that you don't know what to do with, send us a message. Maybe we can pick it up from you and put it up in a museum and have it in, or, you know, with a plaque with your name mm-hmm. right next to it.
Or Alex can even try and fix it.
Yeah, that's
there you go, you see. There you are. That's it. Why not? All this old stuff. All us old things are coming back in fashion, you know.
Yeah, like vinyl.
Haven't worn vinyl for a long time. Thanks, Alex.
Latex, maybe?
love it. Dr. Computer, Alex Newman with us this morning. Always good to have him here on the show when he can make it, because I know he does have a busy, busy, busy time. Talking of time, looking at my wind-up watch, the clock. Well, it's not wind-up, really. It's got a battery in it, but still working. It is at the top of the hour, 9 o'clock. Don't forget, coming in to join us in the last hour this morning, we got Gerardo from Filtro Medusa coming in to chat with us.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM.
I'm so sick of that same old love.
Are you also sick of that same old love? Those same awkward dates, impersonal, virtual, of people ghosting you on dating apps? Gordon's Gin and Smirnoff Vodka present Dating Game by Cool FM. Sign up on our website to experience a speed dating like no other, with like-minded people, a singles party afterwards, and the best mixology by Gordon's Gin and Smirnoff Vodka. Starting at 6 p.m., Thursday, August 3rd, in Tacos La Neta, Celina Rooftop, Casco Viejo, come enjoy a mixology session, speed dating, and the best music thanks to our DJs. A fun party with the possibility of finding a match that will not ghost you through the phone before even having a chance to meet. And if you don't find a romantic match, we're sure you will find many new friends. If you're between 25 and 40 years old, sign up on coolfmpanama.com and join our singles event this August 3rd in Tacos La Neta, Celina Rooftop, Casco Viejo. Are you ready to match face-to-face? Dating Game by Cool FM, presented by Gordon's Gin and Smirnoff Vodka.
Got it, okay?
There is
you felt the same. Ooh, yeah. Cause baby, I hope and I pray you beg me to stay tonight. Cause the very thought of you is keeping me alive.
In the very thought of you from Lisa Stanfield there. Still to come on this morning program,
Piltro Medusa. We're going to be talking with Gerardo, who's coming in to chat with us, and it's about their upcoming concert on the 22nd of July with the Panama Philharmonic. tell you what, there we go. Those are my guests for this morning. Oh, Gerardo. Not yet. Okay, I'll tell you when to start another one. You're not getting that many plays. Gerardo Aleco. Filtro Medusa.
One more time.
One more time. Filtro Medusa.
Filtro Medusa.
Hmm.
Hello, good morning.
Try your mic then. Yeah, that one's a pain in the ass. Can you share the mic? Can you? I mean, you're close.
Which one? This one?
Yeah, that one. That one.
All right.
I don't know why I've got a... I've always got problems, but... Anyway, listen, guys, it's great to see you. Thank you for coming in, because...
Thanks for having us. When you
sent this note in the other month about what you were doing, I was over the moon, because it just so happens I am a great lover of all these artists now which are bringing their music out again with symphonic or philharmonic orchestra backing. I mean, it's really, really quite something. How did this come apart? I mean, how did you get them? How did you manage to pay them enough to do it?
I'm going to answer that. You can answer some. Let's see. Okay, it's an interesting story. So Gerardo, our guitar player here next to me, he's also a great photographer.
I know, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So at some point he was doing photos for an orchestra here, and the director felt like maybe we should do something together.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how things are. Time just happened, and it didn't work.
We had radio silence for...
Yeah, we have some time and no communication with that.
My audience hope for that every day. Radio silence.
Let me finish this part. The thing is that the Teatro Nacional, mm-hmm. they already had a date for us. So they contacted and say, okay, well, let's do this. And we said, but wait, I think we don't even have an orchestra to start with. And thanks to them, they step on and they say, no, let's do this. We need to do this.
Yeah, that was in May.
Uh-huh.
This
May?
This May.
Really?
We were planning this from August of last year.
Yeah.
But we, like I said, we have radio silence. And I talked to the Teatro Nacional about this. They say, all right, I'm gonna give you this space, this date. You go, all right. Uh-huh. We have radio silence from August to January. So in January, they posted, the Teatro Nacional, mm-hmm, they posted mm-hmm. that we will have a concert on July. And right away, I called them back and I said, look, dude, this is not going to happen. Because we don't have a director, we don't have nothing, and it's not possible. All right. But I thought everything ended there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. They called me on May.
Don't forget you got a concert next month.
They called me on May and they told me, they asked me, hey, how's everything? Are you ready for July? I said, what? I said, what are you talking about? I told you to cancel that. And they go, no, 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 we ain't going to cancel. You're going to do the concert. Even if you have to be on stage naked, you will be there on July 22nd. And I was like, dude, I cannot director. I have no arranged part for the Philharmonica. And they said, don't worry. We're going to take care of that. So they passed me these two numbers. Victor Mata, which is a really nice gentleman.
Love him. I know Victor.
You know Victor? You know Victor.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Maestro.
The Maestro Victor. And the one that is doing did the arrangement for the Philharmonic, it was Julian Hill. So I called them, both
mm-hmm.
of them,
mm-hmm.
and I was hoping, Jerry, honestly.
Can't do it.
I was hoping these people to say no. But you know what? They say, okay, you know what? We are on board. No, say no, for God's sake. Say no. I said, we are on board. We're going to do it. We have to start working now. Give me the music. You go, all right. So then I called back the band.
Mm-hmm.
I said, look, this is going to happen. And I gotta tell you, it's been a hustle. It's been hard. One of the hardest things that I've done. The band is doing their part. I'm doing my part. But the heavy lifting Lisette has one part of that. And Bati Diaz, you know Bati, right? Bati, my wife, a friend called Sue, and our photographer, they made this possible.
I mean, I'm just astounded, because if you'd had no sort of, you just sort of in May was said, hey, don't forget your concert. I mean, because how do you prepare? I mean, this is something, you know, I've always found interesting, because I told you, I mean, I'm a great lover. I love these orchestral and philharmonic version. I mean, they've taken, you know, Elvis Presley, they've done it for his music. And I love it. And when I saw you were doing this, I thought, this is incredible. But I was thinking, you know, you've probably been working on this for 6 or 7 months. Because how do you get the orchestra familiar with your music? I mean, everybody's familiar with your music, of course. But, I mean, how do you get that? I mean, like you mentioned, I mean, the arrangements.
All right. The first time that I called Victor, he had everything planned. Everything planned. Mm-hmm. He told me, look, mm-hmm. you know what? We cannot disassemble your music and start doing arrangement because we have no time.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do, Julian, what he told me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make another, we're going to be playing with your son. We're going to do those arrangements like we are another instrument. We are not going to touch your songs.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be your companion during the concert. You go, all right. That sounds easy, which is not an easy task either.
No.
But the way that I want to do it is to arrange all our songs. But for a matter of time, we don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decide to do that. So it was good. I think it worked.
Okay. How's the practicing going? I mean, how's the...
Well, we start next week. We're going to be...
Aleko smiling. He's smiling. No, he's smiling. He's
and my smile means we haven't had our first rehearsal first. Yeah. But knowing that, these people are so professional. You know, they created all the arrangements.
You can't hear this. I got people laughing here. You know, so
yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's great.
I laugh also nervously, but I laugh.
Yeah, but check, they created all these parts, and they transformed into MIDI sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we could rehearse with the MIDIs that they are going to play. So
okay.
Basically, it's like they are playing on top of our music, and mm-hmm. we could rehearse on top of their MIDI.
So okay.
We are in the middle of the process.
Okay.
Yeah. It's working out.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Well, we have no other choice. We have no other choice. And we start next week. We're gonna be the whole week rehearsing mm-hmm. with the Philharmonic. So, I mean, we are nervous, but what is coming out is incredible. It's really cool. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. It's amazing. Oh,
I can imagine what it's going to be like. It's going to be because, but you had this idea. You wanted to do work with a Philharmonic Orchestra. Or did it just come up in a conversation?
No. We've been planning this since we saw Metallica with a symphonic. San Francisco Symphony since the first one.
The first one.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking about that. But it's hard to do that. It's hard. So now is the time.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go back in time because Roy Orbison has also done... Roy Orbison? I mean, I know I'm old, but I'm not... You know, you must remember Dark Glasses...
Well,
no sympathy on this show. I thought I'd get one of the old ones up. This is Roy Orbison and Love So Beautiful. Beautiful, isn't it? There we go, Mr. Roy Orbison, and A Love So Beautiful. That is the kind of difference that we're talking about, that the these philharmonic versions can make to... oh, we dropped your glasses. we're with Gerardo and Aleko from Filthro Medusa. They got their concert on the 22nd of July. What's a week on Saturday, isn't it? Week on Saturday, and this is going to be a Teatro Nacional. It's that's quite something.
What are we going to do after that?
Well, nothing. Well, I mean, that's your highlight. That's your highlight. You finish. You know, you can retire.
Well, we consider rightfully for this one to be our most important show of our careers.
Yes,
definitely.
Indeed. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. No. I mean, and that's what I was asking you about. You know, recording. You know, because that's going to be quite, you've got it all on video as well. That's, I mean, you know, you see so many of these, like you mentioned, I mean, some of the ones I watch on YouTube, you know, you can always cut it up. You can always sort of edit it into individual tracks as well. So, no, I'm really looking forward to it. You must be the first in Panama.
To do it with
okay, a band with its own music,
exactly.
With the arrangement, yes, yeah. We would be the first one. There has been like a
couple of bands.
A band that did songs for a couple of bands.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
not completely for covers, but not completely mm-hmm. from
cover
one band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, this would be first for Panama.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was on purpose, but thank you.
Well, no, yeah. What I love is you both look so worried.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm pretty nervous. At the beginning, I was scared.
How did you pick out? I mean, how long is the concert? How many songs are you going to be doing?
We're going to be doing 13. Well, okay. Our song's going to be 10.
Right.
And the Philharmonic, they're going to play, three?
Three.
Mm-hmm. By themselves.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good. Yeah, you're in good hands with the maestro.
With Victor.
Yeah. No, very, very nice guy. And so this is coming up. It's going to be a week on Saturday, 22nd of July, Teatro Nacional.
Teatro Nacional.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. Teatro Nacional.
I know. I mean, just because I don't think I've been... Yes, I don't think I've been to anything yet since it opened, right? Since it was refurbished? She's nodding.
Well, you've been there. You've been at the Teatro Nacional after they remodeling everything, right?
No, I don't think I have.
So. You haven't?
No.
It's beautiful.
So, yeah, it's beautiful. I can imagine.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
And obviously, they've just let anybody in now. So.
Well, I've been working with the Teatro Nacional since the past 2-3 years.
Yeah.
4 years before pandemia. And I'm used to the Teatro Nacional, but this is the first time that I'm going to be on stage
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
a musician. Mm-hmm. I've been there as a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I've seen you a number of events.
Yeah, but now it changed because I'm going to be performing on stage. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of nervous. I'm not scared anymore, but I'm nervous.
I think you would be wrong not to be. Nervous.
Yes.
I mean, that's you know, sometimes in the morning I sit down here, I've been doing it 16 years, because some days are better than others, trust me.
Yeah, yes.
You know, and
we've had good concerts and bad concerts.
Yeah.
We have. I guess it's completely normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So after this, how are you going to top it? How are you going to, what's the next?
Why you have to ask that?
It's my job.
I know it's your job.
You know, I mean,
would be fantastic to start traveling to other countries.
No, absolutely.
We haven't traveled since, let's say, 2007.
Oh, wow.
The last time. But the
really? You have?
Seven,
have,
eight?
No. This is the problem. We had this conversation the other day here in the studio. You'll be isolated just in Panama. I mean, this is one of the frustrating things, I think, because we really have got some brilliant musicians, bands, you know, solo singers, And in, if you're in the States, you're going by a bus and you go and you travel and you do the clubs, you do the, and somebody can see you or, you know, or you get a reputation. Exactly. You know, you get a, this is the problem in part. Even, you know, we have the likes of Spotify and your music's out there, but there is so much music out there. How do you pinpoint it? How do you get it there? It's down to, I mean, you guys have got great personalities as well. And, how do you do it? I mean, this is going to help. This new concert's going to help.
Yeah, I guess we're going to be on, that day will be news that day. Mm-hmm. I know that. Mm-hmm. We will be in the top of the food chain of the music that day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday or Monday. Definitely, we need to take advantage of that. Make publicity about this. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it all this week, thanks to Lisette. But we need to organize something. We do have something.
We do
after the concert.
Mm-hmm.
Because that doesn't stop there.
No.
So now is the part to get to other people. Yesterday, I told somebody, you know how many people doesn't know that they like rock music? Because they haven't had access to that. Mm-hmm. They just have access to reggaeton or salsa, which is not bad. But there's more music than that. And we're not talking about rock or heavy metal or progressive rock. There's other genres that people don't get access to that.
Sure. I mean, if you mentioned sort of, I guess, because your music isn't what I would call, not for us anyway, sort of like heavy, but we did have in here. You're good at this, Jazz. What was the very heavy metal, the death metal band we had in? Can you remember? She's my memory.
Attica.
Attica.
Great band.
Oh, no. I mean, they'd been in Germany. They won competitions or whatever. The funniest thing was, you know, I know I listened to some of their music, and I send a message to Alessio saying, I got Attica coming in tomorrow. And what do you think? And he sort of, you know, said, well, you know. I said, don't worry, I'll sort of play. They came in. I was expecting, you know, things in their heads and horns. And these were the most meek, gentle, sweetest people you could possibly meet.
Yes.
And then, you know, how the hell do you do that? That's not easy.
Attica is a great band. Most of the people, for the regular
non-rock listener,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be the heaviest thing in the world, the satanic thing in the world. But no, they are not.
No, they're not.
You met them. They are really great. No, I mean, you great know, musicians.
One's a school teacher, the other, I think, was a chef or something or whatever, but they were so nice. And it helped me a lot understand that type of music, their music.
Let me tell you something. Death metal is a big movement on Europe and even in this part of the world. It's not commercial for most of the country. For Panama, it's not commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a
big deal.
It's a big deal.
But you see, the thing is, you are a great band, but you've got to get... It's getting over this hump, isn't it? It's like going over a hill and then coming down the other side. I mean, I really, really do help, because I think it will to do this piece with the Philharmonic Orchestra. And that'll give you something which the others don't have.
Right. And also this very show, it has like some of our hits, let's say hits, because they kind of...
The Filtro Classic. The classic Filtro.
Yeah, we're going to play some classics for us and lots of new songs.
Oh, good.
So also it's a nice bit, mix. We have some ballads, some power.
Power ballads.
More heavy rock, but still our singer, Betty. She has the sweetest voice, so it never felt so hard.
Right.
So it's going to be a great mix.
No, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
And the new songs, we cross already into the progressive rock world.
Mm-hmm.
So we are doing more progressive things right now. Mm-hmm. We think sometimes in commercial songs that we have for this album, we always going to have the commercial part of Filter. We're going to have always the heavy things, and we're going to have from now on that we're having the progressive rock, which is what I listen to. And I've been trying to take the band to that way, but Aleko always stops me, and Betty, they always stop because they think commercial. So, and it's a good balance that we have. We listen to so many different branch of rock in our band. Everyone has a different style of rock, and we manage to mix all that together.
Well, I mean, you think, you know, you sort of say, you know, like commercial almost as if it's a derogatory thing, but the thing is, it's the commercial ones that will get you recognized and get people listening to your other music.
That's true.
Right.
You know, I mean, I was saying yesterday, I mean, it was, we're talking, we had a segment of love songs for this event coming up on Cool FM. And I went back because for me, you know, sort of when I was young, believe it, I was young once.
You're still young.
The 70s, the early 70s. I mean, there were so many brilliant ballads. That was a beautiful period, 70 through 73, 74. And at that time, Elton John brought out your song. And that's what put him on the map. That's the one that got him internationally known. And as I say, you want to come on the breakfast show more often, it'll help.
Yes. Yes, that's true. That's true.
Do you think that in any band would like to be on the spot? No, I don't want to say recognized, but if they want to have a gig, they want people to come and see them, right?
Oh,
so
of course,
at some point, you need to create something that is more approachable, for people to be able to sing, right?
And headbang.
What we need is, because, you know, let's face it, we've got the film festival, we've got the jazz festival. Panama needs its own Glastonbury on the beach.
Yes.
Find some huge place somewhere and get all the local bands, get some guest bands in or whatever, and just have your own Glastonbury here in Panama, and you know, from Little Acorns, Oak Tree Grove.
A national. Well, we have
MUPA.
We have MUPA,
Which they invited us, kind of to be one of the bigger bands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first time that we have like our name super big in a poster for a festival.
Oh yes,
it was fun. Fantastic. Yeah. So they are doing their job.
Wonderful! I love it.
Yeah.
Well, look, guys, we're out of town, but just to remind everybody.
Thank you very
much. You're going to be listening to Filtro Medusa on the 22nd of July, with the Panamanian Philharmonic Orchestra. It doesn't get better than that. Panama Philharmonic Orchestra playing with Filtro Medusa. Now, that again, 22nd of July. Get your tickets at Panama Tickets and don't miss out. The price is right.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Sharp.
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 English time.
English time.
English time.
No Panamanian time.
Okay.
We will start at 8 o'clock.
Okay. Panamanian time starts at 6. Okay. Guys, Gerardo, Aleko, it's always great to see you both.
Thank you very much.
Medusa.
Thank you for
and again,
taking the time.
Congratulations. And I'm looking forward to having you here in a couple of weeks' time, telling you how you feel when it's
over.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, rock on.
Rock on. There we go. And I'm rocking off, all right? I'm getting out of here. Big thanks.
No, you can. I need to take your footing.
Well, I'll still be here. I mean, I'm not. I live here.
Yeah, you'll be here.
Oh, big thanks to Gerardo and to Aleko. Filtro Medusa, great band. Don't forget to check them out for that concert, 22nd of July. Right, big thanks to those guys. Big thanks to Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, for being with us here this morning on The Breakfast Show. And to Ingrid, our intrepid outdoor reporter, for her checking in with us today. And to Yasmin, of course, my producer here in The Breakfast Show studio, and doing all our other work, social media, etc., etc. And also my co-producer, Neil Danby, over there in Windsor, in the United Kingdom. Big thanks to him. Some of the background information on the program. And also, let's say a big thank you to the boys and girls at Cooper Grado, who turned us on at 7 and going to turn me off in a minute because I'm a bit late. So thanks to the guys, to you, our listeners, advertisers, sponsors,
Thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show. I'll be back with you Friday, tomorrow, 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is you're doing between now and then. Please, 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 do it carefully. What do I want to be doing at 7 tomorrow? Talking to you, not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-ta. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D. Produced by Yasmin Kiros. Co-producer, Neil Danby.